This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty. All right, the Patriot Act, dude. Let's break this thing down.
The acts it amended are as follows. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act, Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA Act, Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, Money Laundering Control Act, Bank Secrecy Act, Right to Financial Privacy Act, Fair Credit Reporting Act, Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952, Victims of Crime Act of 1984, Telemarketing and Consumer Fraud and Abuse Prevention Act. Thus, everything it changed. Not just everything it added on to. So it changed all of those laws. Basically, either intensifying the government overreach and control of banking or surveillance, and then giving less freedom, you know, wherever they possibly could, to telecommunications companies and banks. They had to start handing over their records if they thought it was a terrorist involved activity. And then the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that was ramped up to include, I think it was under the FISA Act, but
I wonder what happens in that case. You're talking about the telephone companies?
Yeah.
I wonder if that changed, or if that's why like Apple and like Samsung now has like their own private messenger. I wonder if that changes it. I wonder if that makes it like to where they can't get to these records because it's now the private company owns it instead of the telephone company.
I think that's part of it.
You know?
It's privacy. But I was going to say that I'm not sure exactly which act it falls under, whether it was one of the acts that was changed or whatever, but part of the Patriot Act was that a foreigner, someone who's not a U.S. citizen, in other words, can be detained indefinitely without due process. Hence, Guantanamo Bay.
How does that change on a... Wow, that's crazy, dude.
They don't have trials. They never had trials. There was like, you're a terrorist, you're not a U.S. citizen, you have no U.S. citizen rights. I mean, once you are on U.S. soil, you technically have the right to habeas corpus, unless you're a terrorist, quote unquote. Which most, I mean, I will say 99.99% of those people are terrorists and deserve what they get. But, I mean, that's just a high level of trust for the federal government. You know what I mean? That can be abused quite easily.
Yeah, it can be. And, yeah, that sucks, man. It's like goes against everything we're known for, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't know, man. America is supposed to be this whole melting pot, you know? America's not a race, right? And so if you're, like, basically just saying you're a foreigner, so screw you, it kind of sucks, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still agree with, like, a lot of foreign policies that we would have against immigration and stuff like that, because we need them, but...
What do you mean, like limiting immigration or just like the vetting process?
The vetting process or limiting immigration, all those things like make some sense. But you can't, like, that's crazy, man. That goes against, I don't know. Man. That's like if I go to another country and I'm in a war, like Vietnam or whatever, and I become a prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it is, isn't it? It's a prisoner of war. You're in their country and they're like, well, you're not welcome here.
But,
you know,
a prisoner of war is a very, like, internationally, it is a very it's a technical term. So the prisoners of war, basically, if a war is declared, they have to be released at the end of that war, right?
What?
Or given due process.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In our country?
No, according to the Geneva Convention.
Really?
Yeah.
But does who fall? I guess I would wonder who would follow that then in a war. You know, isn't it all things go? You know what I mean? I know there's crimes against humanity and stuff like that.
Right, like chemical weapons and landmines are banned internationally. I mean, North Korea's got them.
Yeah.
But I mean, then again, North Korea is sanctioned by every other major country on Earth.
Isn't Sweden, bordered by landmines?
No. So
Switzerland.
Has all of their, so it's a very mountainous country.
Yeah.
And you basically have to, there's bridges and tunnels everywhere. And all of them that are on the borders are rigged to explode.
Okay, there we go.
So they can close their borders in an instant.
Right, I just didn't know if there's landmines, bombs. Okay,
no,
cool.
There used to be landmines. So there's landmines a couple places on Earth. Most of them have been removed. But North Korea, there's definitely lots of landmines. And in the sea as well, by the border. And then there used to be some there are some in Guantanamo Bay. On the U.S. side, they actually got rid of them. In the late 80s, early 90s. And on the Cuban side, they are still there today. Because the Cubans were like, we don't want to spend the money to get rid of them.
So the landmines?
Uh-huh. But we got rid of ours in the early 90s.
Okay, so landmine in the sea. Hold on, let me ask you this. Finding Nemo, right?
Uh-huh.
The mines that are in the ocean, they're like on these they float almost. Uh-huh. Is that what a landmine in the sea is like?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, because it wouldn't blow up a ship. A ship wouldn't hit it, you know?
What do you mean?
Or are they just they float on the water?
Well, they're not on the water. They are, maybe 10 feet below, so you can't see them.
Right. And there's something holding them to the
there's an anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just asking how they work.
Uh-huh.
Literally, when you said I imagined Finding Nemo, and I was like, were they in North Korea, bro?
Once basically something hits them, boom, they blow up.
Gotcha.
They've been around for hundreds of years, too. It's not like a recent invention. So, anyway.
Wow, man. Wow.
Yeah. But other aftermaths of...
the Patriot Act definitely was the main thing, right? It was the number one. And I how many bills before the Patriot Act were that big? Or that changed things that much? There's so many that get passed, I get it. But
I mean,
I don't know.
Not bills, but constitutional amendments would have been the biggest ones. I can't really think of any other pieces of legislation that were that consequential.
Yeah.
Other than a federal amendment to the Constitution. So.
And how long has it been since we had a federal amendment to the Constitution?
1970s, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly when it was, but the last. Let's see. I'll look it up.
That's crazy.
So.
I guess the 27th, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Anyway.
The salaries paid to members of the United States Congress. Is that what it has to do with the 27th Amendment?
Mm-hmm. Members of the Senate serve 6-year terms. Members of the House serve 2 years. The 27th Amendment says that no law can change the Congress people's salaries until... Oh, yeah, so they can't give themselves raises during the same term. So they have to be reelected in order to give themselves raises.
The fact that they give themselves raises is already just
mm-hmm.
insane thing to me. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, oh, we're causing inflation, but don't worry, we can give ourselves raises. It's all good.
Yeah.
And we print the money anyway, so.
Whatever. That's so stupid. But yeah, so the Patriot Act, probably the largest freaking piece of constitution or piece of legislature that got passed in recent times. Maybe not until, I mean, if Biden passes some of the things he's trying to pass, maybe that would, you know, change things. But
I think as far as influence in the federal government's interaction with the people, I think the Patriot Act was probably definitely the most consequential single piece of legislation ever. And increase the government's ability to surveil students or surveil citizens unconstitutionally. Well, I think there's so many aspects of the Patriot Act that are unconstitutional, but they've been held up over and over and over by the Supreme Court, and that's what's really disturbing is the Supreme Court doesn't seem to have the American people's back a lot of the times, and a lot of that
is since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
This is
it was passed in October. People, that's how fast it was. Like a month later.
For those of you that, for those of you that can't do math, that's 1 month.
Yeah.
The thing is that would mean for those people that are waking up right now, you know, not physically, but you know, waking up to to what might be going on in the world in America and being red pilled, if you will, or white pilled or black pilled or whatever the heck pill you want to call it. You're acknowledging the fact that some conspiracies could be true, or you're acknowledging the fact that it's all for money, or you're acknowledging the fact that politicians suck all the way around most of the time. And then you say that maybe things are bad now, but what you're not seeing is that even in 2001, things were not the best. If the Supreme Court doesn't have your freaking back, what are you doing, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of it maybe didn't make it to the Supreme Court because of quote-unquote national security implications, you know, or settlements.
That's probably why it happened so fast. We were still freaking out.
What do you mean?
That's probably why they tried to do it so fast, because we would still be in shock. We're still freaking out. The American people can't do anything.
Well, yeah. Well, the Americans wanted action at the time. They said, whatever we have to do to catch these terrorists, get it done so we can get them, you know? And they were like, well, this is what we got to do. We basically got to tap everybody's phones. We got to collect all this metadata. We got to give the NSA more power than they've ever had, you know, since Nixon, right?
Yeah, dude, and Snowden would tell you that the Patriot Act is the downfall of America, probably.
I would 100% agree with that.
It's like literally...
The Patriot Act was the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end, yeah. And that's
It was...
Oof, that's tough.
It was what the CIA and career politicians, career bureaucrats, and the quote-unquote deep state, it's what they wanted all along, since the 50s and 60s. I mean, this is like... You know, everything that they could hope, everything that they could ever want or hope for. And that's what leads a lot of conspiracy theorists to believe that, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or that the CIA was implicit in the acts of that day, implicated in the acts of that day. Like they knew about it, they didn't do anything to stop it, and they were like, you know, this is going to be great for us because we can finally have the tools to go after and get these guys once they realize how dangerous they are, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I get that. That's honestly a good argument. I don't know what to say. You know, when you see how much they wanted it, you're like, man.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the abuses the FBI and the CIA have done in the 20th century, in the last half of the 20th century, and what they've just done during the Trump administration,
yeah,
it was egregious.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that you've got senators basically threatening social media companies like, hey, you got to do something about so-and-so, or we might have to get involved. We might have to break up your big company. We might have to tax you differently. We might have to censor your comment section or whatever. And I think you know, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg got the hint. We're like, look, we don't want, you know, Dianne Feinstein's basically openly threatening them during those Senate hearings and saying, you know, if you don't do this, things will change for you. And she's a senator from California. That's where they're all located, of course. So they're going to take her threats a little bit more seriously. She's been in the Senate for like 100 years.
It just sucks, man. That's not how, I mean.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. But like, how do you, I don't know. Like, we say that, but I guess I just felt like a company that big would fight back, you know?
No, they don't have, I mean, they're.
I mean, Elon didn't even get threatened, and he moved out.
What incentive do they have to fight back? I mean, they've got more money and power if they go with the flow.
Yeah, so then it comes down to principles.
You fight back, you end up like Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. You know, run out on a rail, losing all his commercial spots on a lot of stuff, and he kind of went off the deep end, though, a little bit.
Yeah, he did. He did. He went a little bit too extreme there.
Mm-hmm. But even there's even certain just baseline conservatives are getting run out on a rail if they're making their views public in their business, you know? Like, there was a video game CEO that basically said that he was happy that Texas passed its pro-life bill. And he was the founder of the company, and he got booted out of his own company, and that he had to resign because he sent out a tweet that basically said, "I support the, you know, right to life Texas bill." That was it, and he was done out of his own company. I mean, the guy was already a multi-millionaire, so he just probably just retired at, you know, 35 or 45, however old he was. But yeah, at the same time, it's like,
if you have any kind of platform or you have any kind of money, you're getting ruined, and it all comes from this Patriot bill.
Yeah, and like AJ was saying, if you're Nicki Minaj, why are you getting calls from the White House saying, "Hey, we need to come talk to you. We need to basically like readjust your freaking MK Ultra mind control, and you need to be spitting out the right narrative."
Did you see that? Did you see like the screenshots from the media trying to get a hold of Nicki Minaj?
Yeah.
She posted all that crap.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Good
dude.
For her.
Honestly, it was awesome. I still like her songs are ridiculous or whatever, but like that was like, wow.
Yeah.
And she like literally doxed the reporter. I'm like, what the heck, dude? Is this what it's come to, man?
Yeah.
The last people we would ever put faith in or expect or even want, maybe besides Kanye because he's awesome, are the ones doing DaBaby? How is he the guy? He's also talking out against vaccines and stuff. Where did this guy come from, you know?
Huh.
It's weird, man. And I'm like, it's crazy to me. Why do they have to be the people that do it? I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying they should. That's amazing. Well, but if some legitimate person comes up, like the reason that we just had those guys on the podcast, literally they said, because otherwise we'll get absolutely wrecked or canceled and no one will see this.
Hmm.
And I'm like, well, I mean, I hope that doesn't happen to us, you know? But what the heck, dude?
I was thinking about that, too. And this kind of stems from the surveillance state that we live in now, is your neighbors are ratting you out. And the thing is, conservatives and those freedom-minded people, those independent thinkers, are going to start going underground. They're just going to stop getting on social media. They're not going to use... They're not even going to use Parler. They don't want to be found by, you know, the blob, right?
And that's not good.
Of course not. And guess what happens when that you have that subculture go underground? Then you start getting more and more radicals that come out of that.
You know how people get free? They start not free, then they go underground, then they're above ground, and they break out. Mm-hmm. We're going the opposite direction.
Yeah.
There's a clear thing that's happening here. We're going the exact opposite direction.
And tons of people are so like happy that football is back for two reasons. One, it feels like the pandemic is slowly coming to an end because there's crowds and stuff. There's fans back in stadiums, and that's good. That's really good. But at the same time, it's, my distraction is back. I don't have to pay attention anymore. I can just play fantasy football, go do my job, come home, veg out, and rinse and repeat. You know? They're not thinking about what's going on around them, the censorship and the surveillance and the government. And another long-term consequence of the Patriot Act was the Bank Secrecy Act and Right to Financial Privacy Act. Those financial rights are being eroded away. The IRS right now banks have to report, financial institutions have to report any transaction above $10,000, period, to the IRS. If you withdraw $10,001 from your checking account, that transaction is reported to the IRS. If I give you $10,000, $10,001 for a car, we have to report that to the IRS.
Right now they're working on trying to change that too.
I was going to say, exactly. And Biden wants to introduce a plan to, still got it pulled up. So the Bank Secrecy Act requires financial institutions to report to the IRS transactions exceeding $10,000 or multiple transactions in aggregate of $10,000 a single day related to the same consumer or business. This is from BKD.com. So that's kind of what I just explained. In May 2021, so last May, as part of the, quote, American Families Plan, President Biden proposed that financial institutions should report to the IRS consumer and business account activity exceeding $600 annually. The U.S. Department of the Treasury explained the proposal's purpose is to, quote, to increase the visibility of gross receipts and expenses to the IRS. So back at, I can't remember when this whole reporting $10,000 started, but before that, nothing had to be reported to the IRS unless it was income. And before that, there was no IRS. It was just sales taxes. I believe it was just a national sales tax and tariffs and that sort of thing. There was no income tax before. When was the 19th Amendment passed? 1919, I think, something like that. And so, yeah, the whole, that's crazy. $600. Currently, financial institutions are required to provide Form 1099 INT to taxpayers when they earn more than $10 in interest from an account. The expectation is to use this existing form to capture gross inflows and outflows of the activity in business and consumer accounts, payment settlement entities, PayPal, Venmo, Square, etc., and cryptocurrency exchanges and custodians would also be required to report gross receipts and purchases. So if you make money off your crypto, they want to know about it. If you send money to your friend via Venmo or PayPal, they want to know about it.
Yeah, so but back to what we were saying before, the guys that just want to veg out. I kind of want to, sometimes you think that maybe that's not a charger.
Oh.
Your charger should be.
I got you.
Okay.
They want what?
They want to, a lot of this stuff we're also always surrounded by is a little bit overkill, if that makes sense.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I'm saying like if you're surrounded in your echo chamber, if you're always surrounded by the negatives, sometimes more than just the negatives, sometimes a little bit more extreme of an opinion or more over the top than it really is, then you're going to there's this constant just fear or anxiety or whatever about the future. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have that. But sometimes I don't know if that's necessarily the healthiest thing in the world. It's very hard for people to have a realistic view of the future, if that makes sense. Like we have a realistic view of the future. We know that there's a lot of things wrong and we're probably headed for a bad direction. But I can still sleep at night.
Why do you think you can sleep at night?
Well, okay. That's different then, right? Because it's because of beliefs, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
It's not political beliefs, though.
Exactly. Politics isn't everything.
Right. Yes, it definitely has to do with God and everything else. But I'm just, I don't, like, I yeah, it's hard to, you can't, this is what I have a problem with on the podcast.
There's long term, there's always that optimism.
I know. This is what I have a problem with on the podcast.
Countries come and go, man.
I have a problem figuring out how to spread that message inside a very, very, very hot political country.
So,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. My take on that would be, if you're listening to this, my advice would be, don't come to us for religious advice. Don't come to us for religious or a theocratic opinion. You need to find a church you like, find a pastor you like, find a religion you like, if you're kind of a-religious, or agnostic or whatever. Find a religion you like, or that you can agree with, or that complements your values, and go with it. Whether it's Buddhism or Judaism or Christianity or, you know, whatever.
Because that gives you the optimism that you're saying? Is that what
that
you're
gives
saying?
You spiritual clarity, feel like. And, so, and that spiritual clarity can first of all help you sleep at night. Second of all, it'll give you peace, inner peace, and that'll help you sleep at night, obviously. And you'll be able to walk away from a lot of pettiness and a lot of emotion. And that's where it's at.
So that's
then you
how,
can kind of clear you can kind of go from there. Clear your head and take on a subject logically.
And you're literally doing this every day, emotion. By the way. Like, you wake up in the morning, or I wake up in the morning, and I'm like, clear, but, you know, if let's just pretend I didn't have that, and I spent every single day doing the same thing I do, you know, I'm always on Twitter, toxic F, I'm always on the news, it's always negative, whatever, right? And for the longest time, I didn't want to be involved in politics, and I was the veg out guy, right? I wasn't really vegging out, but I didn't want to be involved in it. Because I didn't want to be surrounded by that negativity all the time, thinking that would affect me, you know?
Right.
But then I guess I realized finally that it doesn't have to affect you, I guess, that way. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to say that I understand that person's perspective. You know what I mean?
Right. They want to
And also, everyone's not going to be a revolutionary.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And I know that. I'm hoping that those people will follow suit. They're obviously followers. They will follow suit, you know.
But that's the thing.
Hoping that would happen, right?
You may not be a revolutionary, but you will have to make a choice. And I think it's going to be in the next, you know, 5-7 years. You're going to have to make a serious choice of whether you want to just let the government make those decisions, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. Whether you want to make those, let the government make those decisions, or whether you want to make those decisions. Whether you want to make the choice to get the vaccine, whether you want to make the choice to go to a public school or
excuse me,
what doctor you want or where you want to live or what kind of engine your car
it's not
has.
COVID, I promise.
Like, those choices should be up to the individual. And the fact that, I mean, so realistically, I'm not very optimistic about the direction of the country right now, especially with the illegal immigration. I think that you have tens of thousands of illegal immigrants coming in every single day at this point. It's completely unsustainable, even in the short term. And it's becoming, even this latest crisis with the 15,000 in Del Rio, it's a humanitarian crisis, and it's not even just Central Americans anymore. There's a bunch of Africans. We just and a bunch of people from Haiti.
Haiti thing was huge, dude.
Yeah, there was thousands from Haiti, and then hundreds from other African countries. It's like they came years ago, stayed in Central America, and have been waiting.
I was about to say they interviewed one of those guys, those girls, one of the moms in Haiti or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were in Chile for 5 years, bro. 5 years. Now we're seeing reports from a freaking drone from Alex Jones, his own crew, whatever, his video crew. They're going across the border, back across there to their border, getting takeout, dude.
Yep.
Topo Chico, freaking enchiladas, and taking it back to America.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick they're doing this crap.
I saw that. I saw they're going back to
their refugee camps. So they're using American soil and then using a terrible economy to get cheap crap, essentially, right? Because Mexico's cheap, I guess, compared to America. That infuriates me, bro. But well, what are we doing?
The fact that they're willing to just like hop over and hop over means that they're probably not coming to seek asylum, right? Like they're not religious minorities or being persecuted, you know, via a communist country. No, they just want like a better job.
Right.
They just want a better freaking job. And guess what? It's not here.
Right.
Like
there was I think there was a senator or a representative that was like, basically, like, we give exceptions to them because they're not staying as far as the vaccine mandates go or getting vaccinated.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, no, they're not staying. They're just here for...
bullshit.
Right. I'm like, what the heck? How is that? How is their logic there? And then on the Emmys, their excuse... So someone actually inquired.
Oh, yeah.
And their excuse was that it was music or movie or film production, so it doesn't apply. They're able to get around it that way. That was, I mean, that's
the Gavin Newsom gave Hollywood a giant hall pass and said, y'all basically can do whatever you want. The film industry, Hollywood, that's why he was endorsed all the Hollywood unions.
I'm all just surprised Newsom. That these things we're talking about are so blatant and overt. Yet people are still talking about random conspiracy theories, which I'm not saying they're not true. I don't know, whatever. That's they're there.
COVID conspiracies
any conspiracy, it doesn't freaking matter, dude. Trump's coming back or whatever the heck it is, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. All these crazy things, like what about the elephant in the room that literally is right in front of us? Is it just old news now? Yeah. We're just not worried about it now? When are we going to start pushing that more and more and more? See, the thing I think the biggest problem with social media right now, besides all the actual social media problems, we're moving so fast from news to news.
News cycles like 24
that,
hours.
Bro. That no one is pushing what happens. So like when you see Newsom, I gave Hollywood a pass. It's pushed for 24 hours and then done, gone.
I mean, not even.
Mainstream
media won't even cover stuff like that.
So there's no actual time to have a physical resistance created for that specific wrongdoing, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, of course, yeah.
So that's what I think it's a huge problem now. Because like we will always complain and say, well, what the heck are we doing about it? What are we going to do about it? You're not going to do anything about it because it's literally going to be gone in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
The thing is, now, here's what gives me a little glimmer of hope, is that President Biden is running through so here's the analogy I can come up with. So a president is like a hurdler, like on a track, like you do hurdles, right? You're jumping over the little hurdles on the track.
Nice.
I'm just trying to put the image in your head. Hurdling, guys, jumping over them. So anyways... You see, if you see President Obama, he's running, like, and he jumps up. Okay, his foot kind of caught that hurdle. Like, he's doing okay. He's all right, you know. Bush.
We have a hurdle?
Bush was kind of, he was jogging along, and he kind of just, like, walked around some hurdles, and Cheney was, you know, kind of lifting him over hurdles a lot of the time. You get to Trump, and he's just blasting through it. He's, like, freaking on steroids, just jumping over hurdles left and right, clearing them. But the announcer's like, Trump hits another hurdle. He hits another hurdle. Oh, he's just running right through him. Biden is like going the wrong way, hitting every single hurdle on the track, and just confused, eating ice cream, chocolate chip, like really confused. Like, why? I am on a track. What are these hurdles in here? Get out of my way, hurdle. He just knocks him down with his hand. And the announcer's like, Biden jumps another hurdle miraculously. Oh, he's gonna get another hurdle. And then... And then by the sound of the announcer, you're like, okay, you know, he's doing okay. And then next thing you know, the announcer's like, oh, he kind of hit a hurdle, and he keeps knocking him down, going the wrong way. Remember, he's doing terrible. And finally the announcer's like, okay, he's hit 10 hurdles. I can't really like hide that. Like, the audience is going to plainly see this. You know, there's a crowd here watching this track event. And now news anchors like Chuck Todd are basically saying we have a competency problem in the U.S. Our leadership has a competency. That's from freaking as mainstream media as you can get, Chuck Todd. It's like, we have a credibility problem. We have a competency problem. You've got France withdrawing its ambassadors for the first time in U.S. history ever.
It took...
our longest ally, and they withdrew their ambassador under President Biden.
Yeah, but weren't they mad at the U.S., the Australia, and UN?
No. U.S., U.K., and Australia. So, here's the situation with that story. So, Australia and France had a deal that the U.S. military contractors would basically build submarines for France, and France would sell them to Australia. Don't ask me why it was that convoluted, but that's the deal that it was.
Are we drop shipping? Stupid. Drop shipping submarines.
Basically, yeah. And these weren't even nuclear submarines. These were conventionally powered, quote-unquote, which means they're diesels.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, big ships are typically diesels if they're not nuclear. And then the U.S., so that they had this deal working since, I think, 2015, 2016, something like that. Like, it's been around for a while. And it was an 11-year deal. I think they were building 11 submarines is what it was. And the U.S. comes in, and without speaking with France, Emmanuel Macron, they didn't speak with France at all. The U.S. talked to Australia, and they talked to UK, and they said, hey, we're going to make this a trilateral deal and just cut out France completely. Because France is basically being a middleman. But I think we were using their harbors and like their shipbuilding facilities to build these submarines. But they were being designed by U.S. Weapons companies, essentially. I know it gets a little bit confusing, but we basically cut out France entirely from the deal. And we basically meddled in France-Australia affairs. The U.S. government did, when really it was just U.S. private businesses involved in this deal to begin with. So France is clearly pissed off at us because they missed out on billions and billions of dollars from Australia. And the U.K. and Australia are super happy because Australia is actually getting better submarines with this new deal to counteract China, which is, it's actually a strong move against China.
Yeah, but it's a really, so that's all we see, right?
It's a really weak move against, in terms of the relationship with our allies.
Okay.
And France has been a fantastic ally for hundreds of years at this point.
Right.
They helped us win the revolution. We helped them in Vietnam. We helped them in World War II. They helped us in the Middle East. French troops were some of the last to pull out of Afghanistan with us. Just now. French and UK. They've been all around the world with us. We've been all around the world with them. So, first time their ambassadors have ever been pulled, and they were pulled in protest of this deal. In our 200-plus year, nearly 250 years as allies.
Yeah, it's weird.
Over 250 years is about.
Like, allies. I agree, the move needs to happen like that. I don't think we should sell the submarines to them like that, but the move can still be headlined so that China sees it.
You can still call Emmanuel Macron and give him the respect of saying, "Hey, look, I've got to redo this deal. You know, this is what's going to happen. What can I do to smooth this over and make it not an international fiasco? No phone call at all." Like, that's insulting. You know. They didn't deserve that. I agree that the deal probably was a better deal.
Well, yeah, but the way it was handled was
just awful. Yeah.
You can't just not call them and just do it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like no call, no show, except for billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And like I was, the whole analogy I was getting at with the hurdles is Biden keeps knocking them over, and it's getting more and more obvious to everybody that he is really just inept. He's not up to the job.
I don't think that's it. He's an idiot in a way, but some part of me still says all this stuff's on purpose, dude. And I don't know how. I don't know why.
The chaos.
Yes, dude. I'm thinking like, well, there's no way. There's. Come on, dude. He has staff. He's not the. He just says, get the troops out of Afghanistan. That's all he says. And they're like, we got it. We'll do it for you.
Well,
fine.
The thing is, who gets the ultimate say over who the staff is, who gets hired and fired? Biden does.
Biden does, I know. But his staff is still younger than him. I would hope they have some kind of...
Well, of course, yeah. But
they don't have dementia. You know, I'm just saying, like you can't... There's no...
But his
either chief, that or they're sitting by and letting him die.
Yeah.
Letting him not die physically, but literally... Well, even that. But, like, literally letting him just ruin his own presidency by not intervening. So it's one or the other. So maybe he is completely incompetent and inept, and his staff is literally just sitting by letting it happen, which is still bad, or this stuff is on freaking purpose. There's no way you can be that insane, dude. I get that it's a stressful job. But think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just think about a 70 or 80-year-old mechanic. You know, he's been a mechanic forever. Mm-hmm. Just take away his personality. Don't worry about all that crap because we know what he'd probably be. But he's still good at the job, you know. He has old tendencies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He probably shakes, probably needs some help every once in a while with picking up a tire, you know. Decent in his diagnosis. Sometimes he misses some things. But he's been doing it so freaking long that he's pretty good at it. And I've met these mechanics, you know.
Yeah.
They're real people. They definitely exist. It just amazes me that someone can be in politics for so long, and not even be good at an actual political, like, thing. Does that make sense?
Well, the thing is, he's been wrong on a lot of major decisions, and he just goes whichever way the wind blows. And whatever way the big donors in Delaware want him to go, that's the way he'll go. He's a shill. He's a yes man. He'll do it. And he's really likable. So the people of Delaware kept electing him. And then he was elected as vice president just because he was old Uncle Joe. And no one really paid attention to what he was doing in office, or, you know, he's just some guy from Delaware. It's a small state, you know? Who are the two senators from Delaware right now?
How the hell did Delaware, how did you vote for this guy?
Come on, Delaware.
Golly, I didn't know it all started in Delaware, dude.
Yeah, since like 1972 or something like that was when he was elected to the Senate.
Freaking idiots, dude.
50 years ago. And, yeah, so.
I guess I get it.
People were voting for the personality, and people were voting for him because he wasn't Trump.
Yeah.
They liked his personality better than Trump.
He no bad tweets, man. No bad tweets.
Yeah. Just really, really bad policy and really, really bad execution of that bad policy.
I just don't know it's so fast. Yeah, I'm just like...
But his poll numbers are really showing that... he's underwater. He's got his disapproval rating is like 49. His approval rating is like 41.
No, I know.
It's bad.
I know it's bad. I just...
Most independents are against Biden.
It's so fast, dude. Like, I just don't... How did it go... Wow. I don't know. You know, a lot of times I was taught in history class or government class, actually, yeah, both, that, you know, you see the effects of a presidency after the presidency, right? That was always the thing, right? Or it seemed like it.
Yeah.
And, like, you would see, like, well, since he passed this thing 4 years ago, now you're seeing it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like things are happening so fast right now that doesn't exist anymore.
That used to be true back when Congress was in charge of legislation, but now it's all federal bureaucracy and it's all enacted very quickly. You know,
with all
everything is a freaking
all
emergency.
Executive orders,
yeah,
and
executive
it's
orders,
all overreach.
War Powers Act. The fact that we haven't declared a war since Vietnam. No, we haven't declared a war since World War II. Did you know that?
Yeah,
we never
Vietnam
declared...
was just a ceasefire. That's all they did.
No, we haven't declared war on a country since World War II.
Oh,
like Congress. Congress has the power to declare war, not the president.
Right.
The president doesn't just go, we're going to war with that country. Let's bomb them. Go. No. Not how it's supposed to work at all. President can do very targeted, controlled strikes abroad, but that's it. He cannot go to another country without... He's not supposed to go to another country without Congress declaring war on that country. But since 9/11 happened, this goes back to the consequences of 9/11, is that the... War Powers and I think it was War Powers Resolution Act, I think is what it was called, basically gave Congress the authority to the president to put boots on the ground rapidly through the War Powers Act and to make those executive strikes, executive decisions, go after certain entities like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Taliban, whoever, that were going against American interests abroad. And you didn't have to have a declaration of war because there wasn't an actual country to declare war on. That was the idea behind it. And now it's, you can go in and, well, I don't think they renewed it finally in like 2019 or 2018, something like that. They didn't renew the War Powers Resolution because I think Trump actually let it expire and or didn't ask for a continuance. I'll have to double check that. But yeah, it essentially gave the president way more power to invade other countries without any,
like, any discourse, word from Congress, say, yeah, any word at
without
all.
Any debate or anything.
Right. Well, let's talk about the also, since we're on the subject of these random things that got enacted and stuff, the Parliament in the Senate. Aren't they just advisors?
What? Wait, what? Parliament?
In the Senate, like the ones that are telling them that they can't do the infrastructure bill or whatever the hell they're talking about, $3.5 trillion. The ones that are saying we shouldn't do that. There's a lot of news reports saying they are denying it, but really it's not them. They don't have the power to say it's not going to happen.
Right.
I looked it up a little bit, and it was like Parliament is like an advisor of the Senate. But then everyone's like, who has heard of the Parliament? Where did that come
from? No, it's not the Parliament. It's the hold on. Yeah, parliamentarian, that's what it is.
Parliamentarian.
Yeah. So the Senate parliamentarian is basically kind of like a advisor to the Senate.
Yeah, board advisor almost.
Yeah, so hey, this is from Fox News. I'm just going to kind of glaze over this article. Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough on Sunday dealt with a significant blow to Democrats' hopes of including a pathway to citizenship for millions of illegal immigrants, ruling that they can't include it in their $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. So the reconciliation bill is basically the budget bill. It's what Congress passes to fund all of the acts that they've enacted during the previous fiscal year. It's to pay for Social Security. It's to pay for all those other unfunded liabilities. It's to pay for all the discretionary spending, everything. So they can't put new laws or put new policies in a budget bill because it's not something they passed previously. They can pass a law and then the next day they can fund it through the reconciliation bill, but they can't just add on new laws. They can't just it's kind of like I want to buy a cheeseburger. So I go to McDonald's and I say, "Hey, I want a cheeseburger." That's all I want. Okay. That's all I want. Okay. $6. Cool. And then I go up and say, "Hey, here's $7. Can I go ahead and get some fries too? Like, can I just add that on?" They're like, "No, I've already rung up your order. I can't do that. Can't do it. Not for the people behind you in line." That's kind of a simple analogy. Like, you just can't tack on that stuff because it wasn't agreed to previously. You know, right. You're kind of holding everything else hostage in order for this one thing to pass.
That's how they do every time.
And
dude,
the parliamentarian said, "Yeah, you can't do that."
I'm surprised that it randomly all of a sudden that the parliamentarian is here doing this. Because I haven't heard about him before. Usually it's like some senator, some representative, some whoever says, "You added stuff to this bill, we got to redo it."
Yep. And another reason Democrats are wanting to do this is, again, from this Fox News quote. Democrats are seeking to pass the massive spending bill via the budget reconciliation process, which I kind of just explained, which allows them to avoid a Senate filibuster and pass the legislation with just 50 votes. So they don't have to have a supermajority, and they don't have to deal with anybody filibustering over it. They can just pass it with...
They're trying to get their stuff from H1 or whatever it was.
HR1?
Mm-hmm. HR1 mm-hmm. into these other bills, man.
Yeah.
Trying to just slowly just screw us. They're trying to slowly screw us, man! I know, it sounds like a terrible argument for this.
As part of this bill, Democrats had sought to include a number of immigration provisions, including a pathway to legal permanent residence and citizenship for a number of categories of illegal immigrants. Those eligible included recipients of DACA and those who are protected by temporary protected status, farm workers, and those deemed, quote, essential workers. Think of how many people we just had deemed, quote, essential workers. Like, anyone could be a mechanic, an arborist. I mean, jeez. And guess who all those new citizens are going to vote for? Who let them in the country?
Yeah.
Who gave them that status? It's all Democrats.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see if that passes. You know, I also saw a news article that was a little bit of a hope thing here. They've got flights coming out of Texas to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of the Haitians that just showed up.
Yeah, I've heard of at least 3 flights that have gone already.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say 7 because I thought
it's probably up to
They're going crazy, dude. Get them out of here. I'm like, good.
But how many is that? 200 people a flight? Like, that's a lot of flights.
I mean, I would hope they're taking them on military planes and just freaking...
Oh, yeah.
Like they did getting them back from Afghanistan.
So, yeah, that was a fluke. But Afghanistan, oh, okay. I heard... They may have accidentally set a world record for number of people flown on one aircraft. It's like 800 people. That is unreal. Like, I've been on an aircraft with about 300, and it was packed. Yeah,
but you're talking about that, and then also, like, the fact that they made it here. Like, dang, they didn't crash. How much fuel did they use, bro? Well,
they didn't know. They didn't land here. Most of those planes that took off had to refuel in midair. Yeah. That's how many people they were carrying. They burned off all their fuel, just taken off full throttle. They didn't know if they were going to get shot at. Some of them did.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
This was small arms fire, but what the hell?
What are these chodes doing, you know?
I mean, they had Stinger missiles like right behind them. Oh, man. They just didn't want to waste the Stinger missiles and had the U.S. come right back.
It doesn't matter, dude. They got all of our equipment. They could have wasted the Stinger missiles all day.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they probably want to keep them and use them.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I get it.
What if the Russians want to come back? What if the Chinese want to come invade Afghanistan?
Yeah.
That's what scares me. The Chinese won't do it. They'll do it with their money. They'll come in and say, hey, guess what? You got some of the most precious metals and rare earth minerals on the planet, Afghanistan does.
Yeah.
Can we turn your caves into mines kind of a thing? And here's a whole bunch of money. Mr. Taliban man, like, China doesn't care if you abuse your people. They do it. They don't care about people.
Yeah, yeah.
They care about China.
CCP.
And China will take over Afghanistan. I don't think they will, like, as a territory of theirs. Economically, you're gonna see China's influence in Afghanistan the next probably 18 months.
We were talking about Taiwan pretty recently.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah, it's pretty much lost. We'll see.
Yeah.
We haven't seen news about that at all. It's gone.
So,
now we're moved on to Afghanistan. China's taking over Taiwan, and now we're going to Afghanistan. People want to argue that, no, China doesn't want all that. They just want one thing. Nah, dude. They will keep going if they can.
I don't know. Because then you're going to have all these international communities come against you. If you go into Afghanistan, into a place where China has not historically been, then you might have real international pressure, like from Russia. Because what's to keep China from going into Kazakhstan, you know? Mm. Which, you know, Russia would be like, no.
I mean, at least we have that. Russia wants their land too, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I don't see them taking over new territory, but... things that they've always kind of claimed, like Taiwan, Hong Kong, Tibet, those are...
they're gonzo.
Gone. They're gone. No one's going to stand up for those. Just like no one stood up for Crimea. Yeah, how often do you hear about that? 2014. Completely invaded.
No one hears about it, dude.
Forceful invasion with tanks, and they shot down a private airliner and killed hundreds of people on that private airliner. Remember that?
We were their allies, right?
Ukraine, yeah, yeah.
We were supposed to go in and help them, mm-hmm. in a way, right?
Yeah, we didn't do anything. We sent them blankets and pillows.
Yeah,
literally. Like, have a good night outside. Their house just got blown up, invaded by Ruskies, unmarked Russians too. That's the thing, is they didn't have the Russian flag. They just came up to the border.
You know what's funny? You just said Ruskies?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Alan said it on the podcast, and he was like, was that racist? And he, like, asked about it. I'm like, nah, dude, you're good.
No, they're Russians.
Yeah, I know. But
they're not a race.
I know. I don't know, dude. It's funny. It was funny, dude. You just reminded me of it because I was like, oh, wow, use that. It was just weird that you used that name. Anyway, dude, I agree with all this stuff. It's crazy. The Patriot Act, you know what? I'm starting to see it, and everyone's starting to see it, I hope. You know, Snowden was right this, Snowden was right that, you know, and I don't necessarily agree with his views on cryptocurrency, but...
What do you say about crypto?
He doesn't agree. He thinks it's a scam or whatever. He thinks it's going to fail, which it might. I mean, he's right about that. It might.
I'm on the fence, and right now it is like teetering. So
I just think that there's too many cryptocurrencies. It's not just like I think Bitcoin might fail. He's right because it can be tracked. You know? The government can track that. I don't think. I mean, some of the other ones might not. If they really pull off a true to the blue, not able to track cryptocurrency that works really well, unlike most of them now with security, then we'll be able to pull it off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens, man.
Yeah. I think the last thing I'm going to wrap up is anytime you start seeing a news cycle about like another missing or murdered white girl.
Let's talk about this. Listen, we need to talk about this.
Anytime you see a news cycle about that, you've got to dig around and see what else. Look at what the Fed is doing. Look at international news. Look at this.
Dude, let's go. Give me some more juice,
bro. Look at the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, what Democrats are trying to push through that.
What does it mean?
Because
dude?
This whole missing white girl
Gabby
thing.
Gabby Petito.
Wait, what?
Petito? Gabby. Gabby Petito.
That is a huge distraction.
Tell me. Here's another thing.
100%.
Here's another thing. That there is. So Jack Posobiec, right, has his inside people or whatever. We don't know. I don't know if it's true or not, but he has other inside people saying. He asked the question. He's like, so did you not have a watch team on Brian? Because Brian was the boyfriend. And later he tweeted and said, okay, confirmed. They did not have a watch team on Brian at all. The whole time, nothing. And I'm like,
they didn't?
Oh,
or?
Well, how do they miss that?
I thought they didn't, and his family snuck him out.
They didn't. They did not have a watch team on him. Is that what you're saying? You're saying they did?
They did, and he snuck out. But I don't know. I don't know the details of that.
How would he sneak out? I guess I'm wondering if they have a watch team on him, how they would sneak out.
Well, they can watch him, but they could bring out a big suitcase or something. I don't know.
I'm imagining that he wouldn't be able to get out, but I guess whatever.
He left in his car. I know that.
Yeah,
and his car was found at a park.
Yeah, and the van was found. He didn't take the van. He just like left that. And then the freaking murders that happened around the same time in the same area.
Yeah,
that's weird too.
Could be witnesses.
Okay, but you're right about that. And I know that everyone throws this out there. It's always the thing, right? It's always the. Maybe it's a good thing that's becoming more prominent, but it gets annoying. But everyone's always, anything something like this happens, which is what you're saying right now, which I guess maybe it's true, but they say, what's really happening? What are they hiding, right? And maybe it's good that people are always asking questions, you know? But I'm not sure. And a lot of the big names, you know, be it Tim Pool or whoever it is, were like, why is this news? Why is this Gabby Petito thing news?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not to say that what happened is not bad, you know?
Yeah.
But it's to say that that's how propaganda works. Whenever you can push something to the forefront so that everybody talks about it, dude, you know? And that's where we're at. And so you're right, man. What is the FBI doing? What do you think? Did you look at anything? Did you dig anything up?
The FBI as far as the Petito case?
Yeah.
I know they seized his hard drive recently. That was like the latest development that I saw. I think they're going to find they're pinging his cell phone, but I think he's smart enough not to use his cell phone or keep it on him. He's got half a brain. If you've seen one episode of freaking Forensic Files or whatever, You know, you're gonna know not to keep your cell phone on you. Just go dark. And they live in Florida, right?
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
So where's he gonna go?
I mean, where's he gonna go?
He's gotta make it to Canada, Mexico, or fly out of the country. So
he can't like get to Cuba.
He's not.
I don't know why you'd want to go to Cuba.
Yeah, how's that better?
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You'd be jailed pretty quick. They'd be like, a murderer from the U.S.? We'll ship you right back, or we're going to throw you in one of our Cuban jails?
So, yeah, he'd have to fly somehow.
Which he can't do. His face is all over the news. He can't show up at an airport. They'd be like, you're famous in like a horrible way. Like, you definitely killed your fiance.
Now, hear me out. Well, he probably did it for sure, but hear me out.
Okay.
What if, dude? You want to hear a conspiracy theory?
Sure, I love.
Let's go, dude. The FBI set the whole thing up somehow.
Uh huh.
Just to have this thing be news, just to have it something else behind the scenes, like the whole thing, you know? It'd be like saying 9/11 was orchestrated, but still, I mean, this is like.
So just judging, I don't think so.
You don't think because of the two extra murders?
Because of the body cam footage.
Oh yeah, yeah, of him like slapping her around or whatever.
Well, right? That wasn't on the body cam footage. Okay. There was a 911 call.
That's what I was talking about. 911 call.
And that was like was obviously like a young dude.
Yeah.
Like not an FBI agent. Kind of a thing.
Right.
Like
right.
I listened to that today and I was like, yeah, this is a real thing. But I mean it's an open and shut domestic violence turned murder case. It's not a.
And then apparently she had supposedly she had OCD, actual OCD, which caused her to have like panic attacks sometimes for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, whoa, it's crazy.
Which
would
drove him.
Exactly. Would drive someone insane sometimes.
Yeah.
They were together 4 years, bro. They lived together for 2 years. I'm like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's. I mean, she was definitely caught in an abusive relationship. If you watch the body cam footage, it's like. Oh, like she basically was like, "Oh, it's my fault. Everything's my fault. Like, don't worry. Because if he gets blamed for anything, he's going to take it out on me." That was like her subconscious reaction to what was going on. And
that is one of those signs, right?
Like, yeah, he was definitely. I feel like this is just my opinion, but I feel like he was definitely abusive towards her for years to the point where she was subjugated and basically a mix of like brainwashing and Stockholm syndrome. Almost.
Isn't it crazy? They had a YouTube channel, dude.
Yeah, they were like blaggers, like who's not?
It's like how. God.
But.
It's crazy, man. You never know the life someone's living, you know?
Exactly.
You never know.
Like, yeah, that's all.
But back to what you were really saying after talking about the whole thing, just like they want us to do. Back to what you were really saying, you got to dig in because a random case like that, dude, there are so many people that don't get reported, in the Grand Tetons missing. Dead. So many. And lost, the FBI doesn't say shit about that.
Yep.
That may be another freaking story to go off with this.
Like, the FBI shouldn't even be involved in this case.
And here they are.
Not a proven kidnapping.
And the only thing I could come up with, because people were asking on Twitter, of course, like, why is this being reported, blah, blah, whatever, right? And I was like, well, to be honest, there is another side. You know, van life is super popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
This story of a YouTuber going on van life is super freaking popular. And it would be something to talk about. And that's newsworthy because it's popular, because it's trending. But just because it's trending, I don't know. I don't know if I can go for that. But I was like, that's the only reason I can come up with. That could be it.
And they can follow the case. They can follow the case like step by step because it's happening in real time.
Yeah.
So that makes it. More newsworthy
more
as well
because
they're not catching people up and it's not just a story.
Right.
It's like everybody's, on the edge of their seat waiting for the next update.
Yep.
But I think this is I think whereas this is a news story, I think it's really being crafted as the news story of the day, Everybody's talking about it because immigration, Afghanistan, the French submarine deal with Australia, inflation, people not going back to work, vaccines, efficacy, and vaccine hesitation, all of that, all of those crises that the Biden administration is causing and putting America through or not doing anything about, that's what's getting kind of swept aside, swept under the
rug.
So
you think,
and all of that is negative stuff. Whereas this guy Petito thing is like, we got to find this guy. We want to group together. It could be almost. It's a sad event. Obviously, it's a tragic thing, but it could almost be spun as like we're all
united.
We're all in this together. We're all against this
American morale story.
Yeah,
you're right, dude. And I think the FBI and CIA would curate something like that, especially for someone that they want in office for some reason. They didn't want Trump in office, right? Because he was gonna argue with them and attack them, you know.
I think curating it like that is too much work. I think just pushing the narrative.
Maybe I changed the way I phrased that. It's not they didn't curate anything.
Right.
But they found the story.
They didn't kill the guy with Petito, but
right.
They said, hey, that whole story that y'all ran 20 minutes on yesterday, all day tomorrow. All day the next day. I want a little time clock of how long she's been missing and that sort of thing. A little bottom of your corner on every show. That's what I feel like. I could definitely see CIA, FBI, even FEC, or sorry, what's the FCC, even pushing that on major news. You know, off the record, under the table. Here's what you got to cover.
You know, I'm just surprised they didn't spin it in a vaccine way, you know?
White House.
Gabby Petito didn't have a vaccine or some crap.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid, but they would freaking do it from what I've seen. Literally every news story right now is either, you know, this person wished he would have gotten the vaccine minutes before he died or whatever the heck it is. It's insane, dude.
Yep. I think just like 9/11 woke up a lot of people and turned a lot of people into crazy conspiracy theorists at the same time. I think COVID did that same thing, and you're kind of seeing the fruits of it now. And just like 9/11, COVID is just one of those once in a generation, once every 20 years kind of a event. And my thing with the people making a decision within the next 5-7 years, that could be the other generational event. That could be bigger than COVID. It could be bigger than 9/11. It could be
something.
A separation of the country.
Peaceful divorce. Let's go, dude.
It won't be. There's no such thing as that.
You don't think so?
Would country split? No, absolutely not.
I figured that everyone would agree.
Sarah Silverman actually brought up that point on her podcast. She said that, you know, what happens when people get in a relationship and they just don't agree anymore? They can't see eye to eye anymore, and they don't have that connection anymore or whatever. Yeah. They don't have the same values. It's like, well, they get divorced, you know? It's like, why can't we just separate? We'll have USA 1 and USA 2. And she said conservatives can be USA 1 because they know it's important to them. They want to be number one.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn straight, bitch. No, I was just kidding. But
wow!
She's like,
I replied to that, though.
We can be USA number 2. And I was like, Michael Knoll, I heard this on the Michael Knoll show, and he brought up the point of like his counter to that was like, no, we should be one country for sure, because the left wants socialism and wants abortion and wants illegal immigration, and they want the totalitarian government and basically a benevolent dictatorship basically is what they want. They want that government control, and they want those evil ideologies and the evil of abortion and the evil of divorce and the evil of total secularism throughout society and no religion at all. That's what they want in a country. And for us to let that happen to half of our country or even just a couple states would be wrong.
Okay. I was going to see where the heck is he getting this point from. Yeah, so you're saying that we should fight for every state, basically what you're saying.
Yeah. We shouldn't let those people that are kind of on the fence to slip into that, because it's horrible for them. It's bad for society. It's evil. The Ronald Reagan was famous for calling the USSR at the time an evil empire. That was a very aggressive tone, you know. This is the beginning of the end of the Cold War. And it was like, we're trying to chill out. We're trying to lower the tension and lower the aggressive tones and relax a little bit so we can kind of see where this ending is going to lie. And Reagan's attitude was like, no, I'm going to call them what they are. they're an evil empire. And then later, a few years later, when he met with Gorbachev, Gorbachev asked him, hey, do you still think we're an evil empire? And Reagan said something to the effect of, he said, no, times have changed. Like, we're talking now. We're no longer butting heads constantly. We can relate to each other. We can agree that there would be mutually assured destruction. We can agree that we want to decrease the number of nuclear arms that we have. Both of us do. And he could see in Gorbachev that Gorbachev wanted a much more moderate USSR. And Gorbachev knew that the USSR was not sustainable and knew that it was going to be dissolved. Gorbachev was a fantastic leader. But that's beside the point. Yeah.
Point is, he called it like it is.
Yeah, called it like it is, and you can't be afraid of the truth, and you've got to have a strong stance, and you've got to stand up for what you believe in. Otherwise, it's just going to get taken over. And you're going to be the permanent minority, and then your beliefs are going to get squashed and buried, and they'll never see the light of day again.
Well, I think we're there. And that's Larry Elder. I mean, what are we doing, man?
That's the end of the USA. You know what I mean? That's the end of this great experiment in democracy. If the USA breaks up, you know, that's it. What other example is there in the world for freedom? And now even the USA is not the shining example for freedom around the world that it used to be. I mean, it is for sure the most free country on the planet, in my opinion, but it's getting less and less so every day, especially after COVID.
Yeah.
Especially after 9/11.
Yeah, so I've called my brother today, and I'm bringing this up because he talked about the podcast. He said he was nervous and anxious for me in the podcast. Because of, I think it's just because of like the controversy and stuff that I cause or that we cause with the podcast.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll use headlines that are like, of course, I'm using headlines on YouTube. So they'll get selected. You know, I'm using crazy stuff or whatever. It does still depict what's in the show, but sometimes it's like, Kamala Harris is better than Biden. Here's why.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of thing, right?
It's like eye-catching.
Yeah, it's clickbait. I get it. I'm there. I agree. You know, and he did admit, he's like, I haven't really seen a lot of them. I've seen a few of them. He's like, I'm just worried, you know, that it's like too controversial or maybe goes against beliefs or whatever, my own principles.
Well, that's it.
And I'm like, okay. It does. I'll say that because I don't like YouTube because I have to do that. That sucks. But also, it's not lying in a way, and it's just like, I don't know what you want me to say. Because otherwise, how am I going to catch attention in today's world, first of all? And second of all, what happens whenever I asked him, I was like, have you seen any news on Australia? He's like, no. I was like, well, this is an extreme example, and I'm not going to say that we're headed that way like soon necessarily, like, you know, tomorrow. Like, but
the only reason we're not there is because we have guns.
We have guns, and they don't.
That's it.
I said that too. I said, well, they lost their guns, which was a stupid idea. But anyway, all that's, I was trying to make it quick for him. I was like, look, I'm trying to do what I'm doing so that we don't end up like they do. And what that means is I've got to be loud, and it's got to be freaking out there. And I, you know, I don't know if I care that, you know, it's gonna hurt people's feelings. I'm not sure I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I stopped caring about that a long time ago.
No, I know, but coming from a place of like, you know, you had to be trying to be Christian about it and all this stuff, and you're like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. You know, and you know, he's like, well, you know, here's what I'll say. He's like, there will be people, you know, that were made to sit back, you know, go in their house and pray, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and there will be people that I guess they're outside and they're doing stuff. And I'm like, okay. And you know exactly what type of person I am, because we are, me and him, are the exact opposites.
Mm-hmm.
We always have been. So I'm like, I mean, I don't tell you, man. Like, I just have to say, like, I get where you're coming from. It does suck that I do that on YouTube. I hate it. But also, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's all I said. And I was like, well, okay, there we are. He's like, dang, dude. But you talk tonight, literally, because that made me a little bit apprehensive or whatever about the podcast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He always does. Every time we talk about it, I'm like, man, because I understand that it's like what we talk about is negative. I understand that what we talk about sometimes is like pushing people's buttons or whatever. Or I'll say like obesity is the real killer in America.
Yeah.
Or we'll talk about COVID and say it's really not take your freaking vitamins or whatever we talk about. We talk about vaccines and we get freaking censored. I don't know. But you make a good point. You're like, then what are we doing? This is the whole point. We got to keep going, basically, right? That was it. When that's the whole point of the podcast, and I'm just saying that I like to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get drowned out, man. You get freaking...
Yeah.
And that's why the meditation thing matters. The religion thing matters.
Exactly. Right? You can get... what's the word I'm looking for? Not depressed, but discouraged. You can get discouraged very easily, obviously, with all the pessimism, the news cycle, the overwhelming opposition, the fact that the majority of Americans are Democrats and do just go with the flow and don't really think independently anymore. That is the reality that we face. And trying to change millions of minds, not to believe what you believe necessarily, but just to think independently, just to take an article and go, do I really agree with what that guy said, or am I just taking it at face value and going, yeah, you know what, I think that guy's right. You know, you got think of it from the opposite
perspective. Critical thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And plays devil's advocate with yourself.
And he told me King County, because he's in Washington State,
mm-hmm.
King County is, they are putting in place vaccine mandates. You have to show your card or a negative test result for COVID at every restaurant. In King County. King County is the county where Seattle and everything is.
Just for restaurants?
He said restaurants specifically.
Huh.
I'm like, well, what do you think? And he's like, well, you know, there was, he didn't really say much. He said there was a big spike recently. I'm like, oh, no.
Everyone died, huh?
So,
two things. One, really, really questionable the constitutional like legality of any government entity introducing a vaccine mandate. It probably for businesses that's interesting. I could probably see it being legal, but it's questionable. The second thing is, if it's restaurants specifically, it makes me wonder why the deep state really is who's behind all this, using medical experts, quote unquote, like Fauci. Why are they going after restaurants, small restaurants?
I don't know, dude. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is
small business
economy. It's a place where people get together and eat and enjoy each other's company outside of the house, right? Nobody's doing that anymore. And if they can get food delivered to them, they'll be so much more complacent and reticent to believe whatever's on the TV. You know, that's all they see and interact with. They don't go out and talk to their friends. They don't see reality. They don't.
Here's what I'll say.
If you can keep them cooped up in their house watching TV, they don't leave for food. They don't leave for work. I mean, you can control them so easy.
He doesn't. What's interesting about this is that he doesn't watch any news at all. He doesn't. I know he doesn't. He never has.
You don't. Yeah, you don't need to be controlled.
Yeah, it's so weird to me how that works, I guess. That's what I'm getting at here.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, man, you're right. And
you got to stay informed to be able to make those decisions for yourself. That's all I got to say.
And that is why we're here.
Yeah.
Cool. There was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember it. So, everyone out there listening, if you are listening for the first time, please like, share, subscribe. That is our show. And today was good. I liked it a lot. I hope you guys liked it. If you didn't like it, don't tell me, and we will talk to you guys
later. Keep that to yourself.
Stay toasty.
All right, stay toasty, everybody.
Thanks for listening or watching if you're on YouTube. You can find us at all the podcast platforms there are in the world. You can also find us on YouTube and follow us there. We are available everywhere. Please share the show if you liked it. The only way we grow is if you share, and that means you care. You can find me at The Real Sky Day on all social media platforms, and you can go see our website at therealskyday.com. See all the stuff we have to offer. We also offer apparel, and that actually does help out the show. therealskyday.com/shop, of course. But above all else, stay toasty. Toasty.